Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time, the second period for this week. I'm John Steele. Unfortunately, it's just me for the second half this time. My schedule with Stuart Smith just not matching, so please bear with me as I wrap up the round 15 games from J2, last weekend's action. Hopefully I won't take up too much of your time. It'll be a good reminder of what went on at the weekend, and a good primer for the midweek round that's coming up on Wednesday night this week. So round 15 in J2, no big changes at the summit. The top four sides all won, including leaders Nagasaki. They beat Omiya 1-0 at Transcosmos Stadium, with Junki Hata lashing in the crucial goal in the 51st minute. Hata scoring for the third consecutive game, so he's in a really good vein of form at the moment. Hata was also pivotal in the 63rd minute of this game. He was going clean through when the Omiya defender Akinari Kawazura pulled him back. A red card for Kawazura ensued, and a difficult task for Omiya became, almost impossible, really. We did see Iba, Omiya's big kind of marquee signing from Yokohama FC, come on for the last 20 minutes of this game, replacing Akira Toshima as Omiya's main striker, but he wasn't really able to get into the game on this occasion. I think he clearly lacked a little bit of match fitness, match sharpness, and the Nagasaki backline dealt with him pretty comfortably in that last 20 minutes. So, another defeat for Omiya. No wins in the month of August for them. Two draws followed by four straight defeats. That leaves them kind of down in the relative doldrums for them of 13th place. But Nagasaki keeping on trucking at the top of the table. Another good and important win for them. Second place Kita Kyushu also won at home in round 15, 3-2 against Jeff Chiba. This match had pretty much everything. Jeff shocked the hosts by going in front in the 17th minute through their Brazilian forward Kleber, who was set up very nicely by Yuki Horigome. But in typical Jeff fashion, and we should probably add typical Kita Kyushu fashion, the home side were 3-1 up at half time. This is after goals from Daigo Takahashi, Takayuki Arakaki, and of course, who else but Akira Disaro. 9 goals for the season for the Bald Eagle so far. Now, Jeff did pull another goal back with 12 minutes remaining, a penalty from Kleber. It looked like a dive, to be honest, from the Jeff player involved in this spot kick decision. So, perhaps justice was done with Kita Kyushu not being too heavily impeded by that penalty. Kleber did have a header cleared off the line towards the end of the game, which would, deny him a hat-trick. And Kita Kyushu's goalkeeper Kengo Nagai also made a good save from Shuto Kojima to protect that three-point haul for Kita Kyushu. 9 straight wins for Kita Kyushu, pretty incredible, couple of months they've had. And Jeff are down in 14th place with 3 straight defeats. Things not going according to plan. As if they ever do, really, at Fukuda Denshi Arena. But another eye-catching performance and another great win for Kita Kyushu. Third place Tokushima fairly cruised to victory on the road at Matsumoto. Tokushima were 3-0 up after an hour of this game, with goals from Masaki Watai, Ken Iwao with a kind of training ground corner routine, very nicely headed in, and Yudai Konishi. Matsumoto did pull a goal back in the 67th minute through Reya Morishita, but Tokushima held on fairly comfortably to take all 3 points here. Tokushima now unbeaten in 7 matches in third place. Matsumoto down in 20th with that minus 10 goal difference. It has not been a very impressive start to the campaign for them, as I think Stuart and I have discussed at least once, probably more than once on the pod this season. In fourth place, we see Niigata, who won 1-0 away at Fukuoka over the weekend. Niigata had their Brazilian striker Fabio back from injury up front, which I think will be a big relief to all Albirex fans. But it was actually his strike partner Arata Watanabe who stole the show in this game. An all-round excellent performance from him, which included him scoring the winner in the 50th minute when he was slipped in by Shion Honma, and Niigata also hit the post with a chance to make the game safe late on, but it finished 1-0. I wanted to give Arata Watanabe a little bit of love because I think he's sometimes a bit of an unsung hero, a little bit overlooked, but he was a very consistent player, very dangerous, and he really had the bit between his teeth in this game. He was excellent, especially in the first half. That's back-to-back wins for the first time this season for Niigata, I believe. Fukuoka down in 15th place, have lost four of their last five games, so they're kind of out of form at the moment. And yeah, I think it was another disappointing home defeat for them. But yeah, back-to-back wins for Niigata, and in fourth place, they're going well. In other games that caught my eye in round 15, and apologies if this is a confusing roundup, these games are just in the order that they kind of caught my eye, jumping off the page. Montedio Yamagata, suddenly banging form, won 4-0 away at FC Rikyu over the weekend. Yamagata were 3-0 up by the midway point of the second half, with goals from Yuya Yamagishi, Vinicius Araujo, and Shuhei Otsuki. I'd forgotten about Otsuki, but he reminded me of his existence with a kind of well-taken goal in this game. Koya Kazuma pulled one back for Rikyu, but before the final whistle, an own goal from Lee Yong-jik restored Yamagata's three-goal cushion. Some of Rikyu's defending was just as bad as their 2019 vintage, so I think that was a bit of a worrying number of goals and chances let up in this game. Yamagata are up to ninth place now and five games unbeaten. Kind of surprising to see them up there after they had such a rocky start. Rikyu, one win in their last five games, leaves them in 18th place with a lot of work to do, it has to be said. There was another big away win in Yamaguchi, where Kanazawa defeated their hosts 3-1. Mutsuki Kato, who we've talked about on the pod before, scored twice for Kanazawa in the first half of this game, and they were two brilliant finishes, taking him to seven goals for the season. What a prospect he is. I'd be very surprised if he's at Kanazawa this time next year in J2. It was 3-0 thanks to another well-taken goal early in the second half. This time it was Kyohei Sugiura on target. Yamaguchi did pull a goal back in the 64th minute through Kensei Ukita. It was another fantastic goal, kind of left foot curler from outside the penalty area. So all the goals in this game worth checking out on the highlights. But Kanazawa held on to collect their first win in three games, and go some way to banishing the memory of that 6-0 tonking they suffered at Iwata in their last match. Kanazawa 11th in the table now. Yamaguchi 2 points adrift at the bottom. Five defeats from their last six games. You have to imagine it's going to be a long summer, autumn, winter, maybe season in general for Yamaguchi, based on what they've been doing in the last few games. Elsewhere, there was another good win for Tokyo Verdy, this time 2-0 at home to Kyoto Sanga. Junki Koike put Verdy ahead in the 20th minute. And right at the end of the first half, Rihito Yamamoto scored his first professional goal with a nice curling strike to make it 2-0. More good news for Verdy was the sight of their Brazilian right-sided attacker, defender Clebinho, back on the bench after injury, and he was able to come on during the game. For Kyoto, though, they lost this game, and they didn't create as much as we usually expect from them. They were able to include Ryota Moriwaki in their team from the start, defender who's been out, sort of medium term with an injury layoff. So I think that's some good news for them that he's back and available. Tokyo Verdy now sit sixth in the table, four wins from their last five matches, whereas for Kyoto, they haven't won any of their last five since that crazy 4-3 away win at Yamagata, which seems a long time ago now because the games are coming so thick and fast. But yeah, Kyoto sitting in 10th place, and they need to arrest this kind of slump in form quite quickly, I would suggest, if they want to get into that top two this season. Jubilo Iwata moved up slightly to 5th place in the table. This is despite drawing 2-2 on the road at Gunma, who I think are fast improving in the last couple of games. Iwata had the ball in the net inside the first 10 minutes here, but Koki Ogawa's header was ruled out for offside. From the replay angles that I saw, it was quite difficult to tell if this was the correct decision. There wasn't really a good or conclusive angle shown on the replays. However, the first half seemed to be all about Koki Ogawa. Just before the half hour, he tangled with the Gunma defender Daihachi Okamura inside the penalty area. This resulted in a spot kick, which Ogawa scored, taking him to seven goals for the season. But Gunma were level before the break, Iwata carelessly giving the ball away. along their defensive line, and this let Junya Kato in. He set up Genki Omai to equalise for the home side. Now, Gunma really came out swinging in the second half of this game, hitting the post early on, and then going in front with an absolute thunderbolt from Justin Toshiki Kinjo, magnificently named. One of the goals of the round for me, this kind of rising half volley from outside the penalty area, well worth checking out online or on highlights if you haven't seen it. Brilliant goal. But Iwata grabbed a point thanks to a goal midway through the second half when Lukian's chip came back off the crossbar. Kotaro Omori was following up and just about managed to convert the rebound, sending the ball into the net off the post. So it finished 2-2 at Shoda Stadium. So yeah, Iwata, as I mentioned, in fifth place, but kind of strange. They've only won one of their last five games, that 6-0 drubbing of Kanazawa. So they've not been winning, not been playing particularly well, but somehow find themselves in fifth. It's a funny old game, I suppose. Gunma unbeaten in their last three games now, but still second from bottom. I think that just tells you what a rough start they've had to their 2020 campaign in J2. But I see a lot of positive signs. I think they're improving. Very hard working team, and they might feel a bit unfortunate that they didn't take all 3 points from this game at the weekend. To round up the last three games from round 15, Mito and Ehime drew 0-0 at K's Denki Stadium. Both sides had some good penalty shouts, especially in the first half here, but nothing was given. There was also some good goalkeeping on show from both keepers, but that was about it. I'd suggest Ehime probably the happier of the two sides with the draw, considering that they were the away team in this game. Tochigi SC, their amazing 2020 season continues. This time they won 1-0 away at Kofu. This was a fantastic performance from Tochigi, based on what I saw from the highlights. They restricted Kofu, their hosts, to the very bare minimum of chances, and then Yuki Nishiya headed in Tochigi's winner 6 minutes into the second half. For Kofu, they were without Junior Barros, who's a kind of medium-term injury. There was also no Dudu for this game, so they were down to their, I guess, third choice Brazilian striker, Rafael, who started up front for this game. And things didn't seem to click for Kofu. A lot of that was down to Tochigi's, as I mentioned, excellent performance. But yeah, pretty disappointing display from Kofu. Funnily enough, that means that Tochigi and Kofu are now joint seventh in the league table. But for Tochigi, they're 7 points better off than they were after 15 rounds last season. So yeah, miracles. I think miracles are being worked at Tochigi Green Stadium so far this year. For Kofu, that was their second defeat on the spin, and they've only won one of their last four. So again, a little bit like Kyoto and Omiya, just a team that are out of form at the moment, I think. But just too many games in a short space of time in the heat probably can account for some of that, I suppose. In the last game on the slate, there was another good performance from Machida Zelvia. They beat Okayama 2-0 at Gion Stadium in Machida. This was thanks to a brace from Taiki Hirato, moving him on to 4 goals for the season. He scored his first goal of the game in the 21st minute, a penalty after a handball from an Okayama player inside the box. And then he scored a very slick, smooth second goal on a quick counter-attack 10 minutes later, exactly the kind of goal that he was brought in from Kashima Antlers on a permanent basis to score. I think really good goal. Machida looking good at the moment. Several exciting young or shall we say less well-known players, especially in their midfield. I think Stu and I might have to do a bit of a deep dive on them at some point in the next few weeks, because we haven't talked about them much on the pod this season, I don't think. But yeah, Machida up to 11th place, unbeaten in their last three games, so going well. Okayama again, very underwhelming, I think. 17th place in the table is not really where we expected to see them, I suppose, after the first third of the season. And yeah, only one win in their last five games. So like many other teams I've mentioned in this wrap-up, Okayama with quite a lot of work to do to turn their form around, I think. So hopefully that review of the round 15 games wasn't too hard to listen to without Stuart to bounce off this time. As a look ahead, as mentioned, there's a full round of games this midweek, Wednesday night, September the 2nd. So this is round 16 of the J2 season, all the games kicking off at 7 p.m. except one, the match between Iwata and Tokyo Verde. They're daring to be different and kicking off at 7:30, but there are some absolute bangers on the slate everywhere you look. So I'll run through the games quite quickly and comment on one or two that I think look especially saucy. Yamagata are hosting Yamaguchi, and then Tochigi take on Kita Kyushu. That's 7th place against 2nd place. Two teams banging form, should be a cracker. Omiya are hosting Kyoto. Normally, that would be one of my picks of the games to watch, but I think considering Omiya are 13th and Kyoto 10th, whilst it's an attractive looking game, there are bigger fish to fry on the slate, I would suggest. Jeff Chiba are hosting Fukuoka. Kofu are hosting Gunma. Another good looking game is Niigata hosting Nagasaki, 4th versus 1st. That should be a good match to watch. Elsewhere, we have Kanazawa hosting Ryukyu. Okayama hosting Matsumoto. I think this is an interesting game because it's two of the teams that have been really kind of anemic and disappointing so far this season. A win could kickstart either of their campaigns, I feel. Tokushima, 3rd place Tokushima, are hosting Mito. 16th place Mito. Tokushima versus Mito is also on the slate. Ehime hosting Machida could be good. And as mentioned, the only game with the different kickoff time is 7:30. Iwata hosting Tokyo Verde, 5th place versus 6th place. Iwata 5th, but not really impressing over the last few games. So I think they'll have to be at their best to beat Verde, who are in form. That could be a good game. So it's almost a shame that these games are all kicking off at pretty much the same time on Wednesday nights. More than one that will be worth watching in full, I think. But hopefully, if you have time to watch one, whichever one you pick is a good one, has lots of goals, and I haven't jinxed any of them for you, I don't think. Okay, I think I'll leave it there because I've talked for 17 minutes. That's quite a long time. We were able to cover most of the key talking points, goals, incidents from the round 15 games. So I think my job is done. The current plan is for the midweek games this week. There's also a full round of J3 games going off on Wednesday and Thursday. So I think Stu is going to take care of the J2 games from midweek. I think I'm given the task of looking after J3. So hopefully by splitting the workload, we'll be able to come out with a mini pod sometime in the second half of this week to get you up to date with the midweek J2 and J3 games. And then Stu and I will be back together at the start of next week to run through what happened over the J2 and J3 weekend fixtures. So yeah, games, match days coming thick and fast at the moment. So hopefully you guys are doing well and keeping up with these pods that are flying out at the moment. Thanks as always for listening and downloading, and a special thanks to the Patreons. I know you guys put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, and support me and Stu on Extra Time, and support the big pod as well. It really makes a big difference. It helps us to you know, keep the pod going, keep the lights on, and we really appreciate that. Everybody who listens and downloads is very very appreciated too. Okay, I think that's all for Extra Time for the second period this week. Enjoy the midweek football, and we'll be back again to talk to you soon. All right, bye for now.